The Hard Shoulder on News Talk.
With the all-new Nissan Juke. The coupe crossover by Nissan. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
The Hard Shoulder with Mark Hagney, and I'm really, really looking forward to this because it involves music, and nothing makes me happier than talking about music. Here on The Hard Shoulder, we're going to kick off a mini-series where I invite different guests each week to share some of their favourite moments in music. It's a chance for them to tell me about some of the songs that hold a special place in their hearts, music that has a particular emotional resonance for them. And I'm delighted to be joined by Barbara Scully, author and broadcaster and all-round good woman.
Ah, thank you very much. That's very kind of you.
By the way, you're looking fab, I have to say.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
She looks like she's just back from the south of France, but of course she
isn't. No, she's back from her back garden, purely.
Costa del Back.
Costa del Back garden in Cavantilli, yeah. And
my
new
bike. On the south side, posh. Yeah.
Well, there you go. The sun always shines.
You get a better class of sun over there than we do, don't you?
I wish. A bloody wish, especially
right.
At the minute.
Barbara, before we get to your songs, are you a music lover? How important is it?
Yeah, I am a music lover. Now, I mean, all the time I talk about music, I'll hear the voices of my daughters in my head, particularly my youngest daughter, who is extremely musical and plays guitar and absolutely loves her music. I do love music. I like music. I listen to music, especially at the moment, I find when life's a bit stressful. Music is my refuge. So I would have music on at home and I would have music on all the time, usually in the car at the minute as well. So it is important. My problem is, which will probably become apparent as we go through this, is that I'm slightly stuck in that my kids give out to me because I don't listen to very much new music, modern music. They say I stopped listening to music somewhere around about 1987 or 88. So in other words, a lot of the music I'm listening to is old music rather than
most
new
of our
music.
Tastes are formed by the time we're between 19 and 21.
And I read something somewhere once that said that whatever songs you loved when you were age 14 are songs that you will love for the rest of your days. And I look back, that was in 1976 for me, and an awful lot of the music I love comes from around that era, you know.
So, yeah, but think of what was going on in your life at 14, 15, 16.
Yeah.
Those are your salad days.
That's right. Yeah, totally they
and
are.
And everything assumed an enormous importance. I mean, it was life or death. It was the end of the world or it was the making of your life.
Yeah, exactly. No, you're very, very true on that. Yep,
right. Listen to me. I'm going to kick off with your very first song. What we'll do is we'll take some of it and then you will tell us.
Okay, you will
reveal all as to why it's so important to you. Okay. This is called Everything's All Right, and it's from the soundtrack of Jesus Christ Superstar.
And it's cool and the ointment sweet for the fire in your head and feet. Close your eyes, close your eyes. Relax, think of nothing tonight.
Hey, woman, your fine ointment, brand new and expensive, should have been saved for the poor. Why has it been wasted? We could have raised maybe 300 silver pieces or more. People who are hungry, people who are starving, matter more and you're meat and hair.
Try not to get worried, try not.
It's News Talk, it's Mark Hagney, and I'm joined by Barbara Scully for a segment that we are calling Moments in Music. Guests come in, pick pieces of music that have a very particular emotional tug-pull resonance for them. Now that was Everything's All Right from Jesus Christ Superstar, which I have to say, I couldn't remember. I was around when it was released and I remember it being a really, really big deal. I remember going to see it in the Gaiety. Mm-hmm. That particular song didn't jump out at me. So why is it so important to you?
I've always loved that song. And a couple of things happened. I was around about 10 when I heard Jesus Christ Superstar for the first time. The first time it played in Dublin, which, as you said, was in the Gaiety Theatre in 1973. And a little bit of the backstory was my mother decided about a year or two prior to that, when I was about 9, that my education was missing the kind of classical arts end. And she was going to embark on this education. And around the same time, I think it was the Cork Ballet Company put on a performance of Swan Lake in the Gaiety Theatre, again, the only theatre, Gaiety Theatre. And my mother decided this would be a perfect jump off point for my classical education. She's a bit of an opera buff and all that. So we went along, and by all accounts, I enjoyed it and it was lovely and everything else. But as you probably you'll remember, Dublin in the 70s was a kind of dull place where not a whole lot happened. There wasn't a whole lot of shows coming to town. There wasn't a whole load of art of any description. So the next thing that caught her eye was Jesus Christ Superstar. And I don't know if it was because it was billed as a rock opera that she went, oh yeah, opera, maybe we should go to this. So she bought tickets and along we went. And on that was, I remember clearly suddenly thinking, Mary Magdalene sings this song. To the other voice you heard is supposedly Jesus. And I just think it's a beautiful love song. And I suddenly kind of, it's like the blind fell off my eyes when I went, I always thought Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. She wasn't a prostitute. She was somebody really important to Jesus. And this is a love song. And she's saying to him, listen, relax, chill out. I'm going to look after you tonight. Let the world turn without you tonight. I've got the ointments here that'll soothe the fire in your head and your feet. And he's coming back and saying, yeah, but I've stuff to do and I've to sort the poor out and I've to do all this. And woman, you're being silly with your ointments and we could be doing big stuff. And it's a very classic kind of song that reflects very often what goes on in a relationship, not in a gendered way. It can work either way, you know, that either the man is saying to the woman, look, calm down. Everything's fine. Everything's grand. Relax. And so I love it to this day for that reason.
But what age were you when you heard this first?
I was about 10.
And you got all of that from that
then? Yeah, I think so. Well, maybe I didn't, but I did love it from the beginning and I've never stopped listening to it. So maybe I've put some of those later on. But one of the reasons I included it was that having seen Jesus Christ Superstar at that time, and it was like the cast, I mean, it was an Irish production. It wasn't brought
Tony
in from
Kenny,
the UK. Tony Kenny, Colin Wilkinson, Ciara Doherty. And most amazingly of all was who played, Luke Kelly played a
Herod.
Very camp Pontius, Herod, yeah. So it was all of that. So we went along and that was great and we really enjoyed it. And then the next thing to hit Dublin was another Irish production, I think a year later, which was another one from Tim Rice and Andrew Lloyd Webber stable, was Joseph and His Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Now, whereas Jesus Christ Superstar was a bit rocky and a bit cool, Joseph was a kind of pop, more of a pop kind of a thing. But again, it was a great production. Again, all the same people. So my mother and I rocked along to see this and my mother fell in love with Ciara Doherty playing the Pharaoh as the kind of Elvis kind of character. My mother, obviously being a child of the 40s and 50s, grew up with all that music. She thought this was the best thing since sliced bread. And Joseph and His Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat seemed to play every 6 months in Dublin for a number of years in the 70s. And we went at least once every time it played. And then it stopped playing. And Ciara Doherty, who had gained, obviously, a level of notoriety from his role, set up he'd been in music before. He was on the show band scene, as they all were. And he set up a band called the Dazzle Band, which were all dazzle and elephant flares and played rock and roll. And so my mother thought this was very appropriate for me, age 13 now, to go with her. And I mean, I don't like to call her a groupie because she didn't do anything more than just go. But we did go. We got to know all the band. We got to know Ciara Doherty. We were in the front row in places like the Drake Inn in Finglas, the Noggin Inn up the road from us, and Sally Noggin, the Tudor Rooms up off Parnell Square. And I was 13 and I never thought there was anything weird about this, even including the fact that my mother thought it was kind of OK if
but
I had a baby sham.
These were cabaret venues. So they were for respectable people.
But
and
they
families,
were over 18.
They?
I was 13.
Oh, yeah, well.
And my mother was bringing me to these places. And it was only when in school one day somebody happened to mention it, like, you go out with your mother to these funny places, that I suddenly realised this wasn't normal. Like, this is kind of weird. But it was a time that my mother and I kind of, certainly I realised that I actually liked my mother as a person. Like, I didn't just love her as my mother, but actually we had great crack together. And this coincided with the time that my grandmother had died a little while before that. My mother came into a bit of money and bought herself a car and learned how to drive. And she had a little Fiat 500, tiny little car.
The sewing machine.
A little sewing machine. And it had an engine that probably would power a lawnmower.
Yeah.
And the two of us took off in this to all of these places, which may have well have been in outer Mongolia, to listen to Ciara Doherty and the Dazzle
Band. That was a bit of an adventure, wasn't it?
It was a huge adventure.
And by the way, what did she make of Jesus Christ Superstar? Did she go, this isn't a bloody opera?
No, she totally liked it, but it didn't set her on fire in the way that Ciara Doherty did as the Pharaoh. Definitely not.
Okay, right. second song, the next one, and it comes from, it's from The Last Waltz, which I think is one of the best rock and roll movies ever made.
Ever.
And it's from one of my favourite bands, American bands. It's The Weight.
Take a load off Fanny. Take a load for free. Take a load off Fanny. And you put the load right on me.
looking for a place to hide. When I saw old Carmen and the devil walking side by side, and I said, hey Carmen, come on, let's go downtown. She said, I gotta go, but my friend can stick around.
Take a load off, Fanny. Take a load for free.
You're listening to News Talk. This is Moments in Music. That was an excerpt from The Wait, the Last Waltz live version. And those of you who know the song would be going, where was Levon Helm? That was, of course, the Staple Singers. And if you watched The Last Waltz, you would be familiar with it. Great choice. Why is this song so important? Again, I mean, it's a great piece of music anyway.
Yeah, and I mean, The Last Waltz, as you say, is an amazing documentary film made by Michael Scorsese, recording the last...
Martin.
What do you call him? Michael. Martin Scorsese. Michael is his brother. He didn't make the movie,
though. Yeah,
exactly, yeah. But recording the last concert of the band, who were a Canadian-American band, who were also Bob Dylan's backing band, and... they had this concert in San Francisco where they invited a load of their friends. So you'd Ringo Starr, you'd Ronnie Wood, you'd Neil Diamond, you'd Neil Young, you'd Bob Dylan, of course, you'd anybody who was anybody, Joni Mitchell, all part
Van
of
Morrison
the thing.
Played a storm
Van
of that
Morrison.
Night as well.
I mean, it was just an amazing concert. So it brings me back to the last summer. You know, the summer that you have between when you finish education and you start work. That last summer where you've no responsibilities, you've done exams, you're finished. Nowadays, the kids all go abroad, you know, and they go travelling. That wasn't an option in 1979. I spent that last summer in Dunleary, which had a huge proportion of young people and a great culture of young people, all of whom, we all hung out in a pub called Donnell's Pub, which was in the basement of the shopping centre, which had only just opened. And as well as going to Donnell's Pub, we used to go to the Forum in Glasthoole to watch movies. And when that movie came out, myself and my best buddy Rita, I think we saw it 17 times that summer. And it just captures that whole mood of excitement, of freedom, of the world is out there waiting, is we've done school. It just captures all of that so brilliantly
for
me.
You were very lucky in Dublin because you had... I suppose independent cinemas who would do that. It also happened with the Rocky Horror Show.
Yes.
It also happened with Stop Making Sense, the Talking Heads movie, which became an event every Friday or Saturday in one of them. And it did. It happened with The Last Waltz. People outside of Dublin didn't necessarily get no. Well, it might have run in a few places, but not the way it did in Dublin. And it became, what are you going to do tonight? Well, we're going to go for a few jars. Then we're going to go see The Last Waltz or Stop Making Sense or the Rocky Horror Show.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we were very lucky and it was absolutely brilliant. And I mean, you know, I can I go right back to walking home. And sometimes they used to show it as a late night movie, which started at like midnight. And you'd be walking home at 2:30 in the morning. And it was just like fantastic. You know, life was just great. You'd no responsibilities. You'd know anything. And you were full of hope and full of expectation.
And you thought you were great and you thought the world was going to be at your feet.
Brilliant. Yeah, I was looking for a guy to bring to my Debs and I found him. And eventually we started going out together. And it was all of that.
Did you marry him?
No, I didn't. No. God, and unfortunately, he's died since he ended up being a neighbour of mine around the corner. Lovely guy. But yeah, no, it was all of that. It was just all that excitement. But it's a great happy song.
Okay, and of course it's about, these things are about the people, they're about the time, but they're also about the place. And Dunleary looms very
large. I mean, I love Dunleary. I still live in Dunleary, and it's much maligned, I think, in the last few years. But it's a great place. Very lucky to live there.
Yeah, and again, look, it's a great song anyway.
It's a great song, and you need to listen to it loud.
You do indeed.
You need to listen to that loud.
You do indeed. Now, your third and final song is "Meet You at the Moon" by Imelda May. Let's take a quick listen.
I don't know if you know, but when we miss each other so, look up, I'll meet you at the moon. A part of you and you're part of me, but it's a cold old world when you're missing somebody.
That's Imelda May there with Meet You at the Moon. It's News Talk, and my guest this evening is Barbara Scully, and she is sharing some of her moments in music. Great choice. When she came out, first of all, I loved the rockabilly thing.
Yeah.
And I wonder, can she do anything else? Then I heard her do jazz, then I heard her do rock. And the way she's evolved has been quite extraordinary. And then I listened to her doing the poetry stuff recently, and I thought...
Yeah, I am a huge fan of Imelda May. I think she's one of the most talented performers we've produced in a long time from Ireland. And she is a poet, as you say. So I love songs where the lyrics are meaningful and beautifully crafted, as well as the music. And this song is particularly poignant for me. I have a daughter who lives in Australia. I now have two grandchildren who live in Australia. And when I was missing Carla, even before all of this current crisis, it was a song that we often sent to each other, because the whole idea of we're looking at the same moon, we're under the same sky, even though we're thousands of miles away. And as far as I know, Imelda wrote this because she was missing her mother when she was, and I think she still lives in London, and obviously her mum is in Dublin. So it's very much a song written by a daughter for her mother. So I resonate with all of that.
Does this make you cry?
It would in certain instances make me cry if I'm feeling down in the dumps, which, you know, at the moment I could be on a reasonably regular basis because of the fact that I should have been in Australia last month to welcome my grandchild, my newest grandson. And I'm not there. So, yeah. And it seems like...
Are both your grandchildren in Australia?
Both my grandchildren in Australia. Yeah. And I made a commitment when Emily was born nearly 3 years ago that I would make every effort to have a really good relationship with her. I've been very lucky. I've seen her about every 5 months since she was born in August 2017. Now, all that has come crashing to a halt. And I haven't met my grandson yet. So it feels at the moment like Australia is just drifting out into space and getting further and further away.
But I was talking about this yesterday, Barbara. We were talking about the fact that, you know, how we greet people. And what we will do, you know, for example, the handshake could become a thing of the past. The idea of giving somebody a hug. I have my three oldest friends I haven't seen for months. And the idea that I wouldn't be able to give them a hug when I see them again actually made really upset me. Now, they're mates, right?
Yeah.
I can't imagine what I would feel like if that applied to my children or my grandchildren.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to make you cry, you know.
Thanks,
don't you?
Yeah. No, I'm a professional. I'm not going to cry. I'll be in tears when I go out the door, but right now I'm not going to cry. Yeah, it's tough. I mean, the only way that you can cope with it is not thinking about it. Because if you think about it, your brain just melts completely. And I've always been able to deal with the fact that Carla is away by thinking I can get there quickly if I need to. And now I can't. It's tough. And I mean, I'm one of thousands. I mean, I'm not alone. So I'm one of thousands. But as I say, Imelda May, I think, captures that whole bond and offers some solace by saying, yeah, we're looking at the same moon and we're under the same sky. And, you know, it will happen.
And she got that lovely kind of smoky feel as well, too, which actually
tugs
the heartstrings even more.
Yeah, and she sings in her own accent. And
she's doing a kind of a Julie London on it, isn't she?
Yeah.
It's a kind of Crimea River song.
Absolutely, yeah. No, she's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Well, listen, thank you very much for that. Just on the, while we're on the subject of music, these are songs that have a particular resonance for you, right? But can you remember the very first piece of music you bought yourself?
I do. Dancing Queen by ABBA.
Good choice.
Really, yeah. There
you
go.
Everybody used to go, ABBA. But
now
it's
ABBA are cool.
Absolutely. Yeah. It doesn't matter who you are. I mean, I heard Metallica do it.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Is it Metallica, one of the really big metal bands?
Yeah,
did it.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
And the best floor filler you will ever get in a nightclub.
Really? Dancing Queen.
Oh,
that was the first one I bought. And the first album I bought was a Beatles album. And we'd bought a new hi-fi at home. And I remember my mother saying I could buy a new LP to play on the new hi-fi. And she was going to buy one. And we both went to Golden Disc in Dunleary. And I came out with the Beatles. I think it was the Red album, which was great. She came out with the Rolling Stones, though. And again, I remember thinking, that's like, mine is good, but hers is cool.
No.
And that was when I started listening to the Rolling Stones. And the second album
now,
I bought...
There's two of those Beatles albums. There's the red one and the blue one.
Blue one.
The blue one has more better songs, I think. But there you go.
Right.
Listen, what's the most recent one you got?
The most recent one I got, I don't know, because I haven't bought music for an awfully long time.
That's, so, do you know what that's code for? Yeah. That's code for I'm not telling you.
No, it's not. I've not actually bought music for it. I think I can know the last present I got was from my husband, and it was a Thin Lizzy album because I was a huge Lizzy fan as well.
Right. Listen, Barbara, it was a pleasure. Thank you for doing that.
Great fun. Thank you.
For almost crying. It was very emotional.
My professionalism intact.
Right. That's it. That's our lot for today for this edition of The Hard Shoulder. I've just been with Barbara Scully. My thanks to her. My thanks also to the production team, Aisling Moore, Dan Flanagan, Roisin Davis, Alex Russo, and Sonia Tutty. Michael Quilligan and Peter Malloy were on sound. Off the Ball is up next. I'll be back tomorrow at 4:00.